And look who just stepped up to the podium with us here. Yes, it is Brian Campbell, Soupy as he is known. And you're going to be skating one more shift today. Tonight.
Correct. Yes.
Now, we were very much anticipating because the game, we are, we're a little bit over an hour away from puck drop, hour and 20 minutes away from puck drop. We were really kind of hoping that you were going to show up in full pads, full deal.
Wow. I could have, but...
Why didn't you... I mean, I know it's radio, but I like the visual of it. With you on the skates, like, walking through, you know, doing the turtle walk. And I love that.
Yeah, it should be, like, one more shift and one more lap around the concourse here, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah.
Add that into it. So I do plan on watching the game in my equipment tonight, so...
On the bench? Do you get to do that?
No, I'm going to be up in the seats, so... I'll watch tonight with my equipment on. You never know, those pucks come flying anywhere. You got to be prepared.
That's true. Well, didn't we use a janitor last season in goal when we lost? Didn't we have it? So, I mean, that can happen, right?
Yeah. The accountant?
You're available if needed is what you're saying.
Always. Always available.
All right. So let's talk a little. What are you seeing the change here? Because it does seem like something's happening.
Yeah, I think... for sure. I think defensively they've been better. I think they're maybe have tweaked, had a few tweaks there. They're getting great goaltending by both guys. I think that's anytime you can get that, especially on back-to-backs. You could even see it when we played Toronto back-to-back. We're going into the game with a number one goaltender where they're going in with, you know, a backup, and then the next day he got sent down. So it's like, We're coming in with number one every night playing. So I think that's a big thing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because what is it, 938? Kev, what are the numbers there? You had them. The save percentages?
Save percentage. I got a 934 for Leonard. That's third best in the league. And Crawford's at 914. So.
Yeah, and Crawford's played really good the last bunch of games. And I see that. And then obviously the forwards, we're scoring some goals now, and the power play's starting to pop. But I'll tell you one thing, Duncan Keith is playing phenomenal hockey now.
Yeah.
Really good hockey. And, you know, he's carrying that back end a lot of nights. He's logging the minutes. It's like he just keeps going, and I think he doesn't get...
Marian Hossa-esque
He doesn't get enough credit. And, you know, I think he's been huge for the hockey club.
Yeah.
You're still player development coach is your title now with the Blackhawks organization. The player we've kind of brought up a few times today, Kirby Dach, only 18 years old, but he seems to be fitting in just fine and learning quickly.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've spent a lot of time in Rockford with the prospects, and Kirby was down there for obviously a short stint. So just seeing him you know, you can see little things on the ice, and I think that's the biggest thing that you notice, and I notice with prospects now, is like there's little things on the ice that they do that you're like, oh, wow. You know, he's going to be good, and he's showing it now at the NHL level. You're like, I still sit there, and I'm like, oh, wow. So,
like, give me an example of that.
Well, the other night, I don't even know what game it was. He was coming up the middle of the ice, I think, and he literally toe-drag kind of pulled it in and went around a guy. And 18-year-old kids don't do that or don't have that awareness and on the ice. And the other thing I like about him too is you'll watch his game, and he can make the plays and skate and get around the ice, but he goes to the front of the net, and he's, you know, he's gonna find goals that way, and he knows where to go and the spots to head to. Even when he was trying to get his hat trick the other night, he was like, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give it to that 88 guy, and I'm gonna go to the net.
Right.
Because I know that 88's going to try to find me, and, you know, he gets it. Where some guys may be hanging out, you know, at the top of the circle on the far end, he gets it.
He's
so
very aware of where he is and everybody is on the ice, can see plays developing. Yeah. And like you said, it just being 18, it is very impressive to see something like that. But he's also just going to get bigger in terms of size, and he's already very talented with stick handling. What do you think is going to happen in 10 years?
Yeah, I think you look in 2 years how he's going to get stronger and more confidence. I think his hockey IQ is, you know, it's I don't ever want to compare anybody to Patrick Kane's IQ, but he's got some pretty good IQ out there. And I remember seeing a picture of his dad on they interviewed him for his first game, and his dad, you know, you could see the size that he's going to fill into and how much stronger he's going to be with the
How tall is he now? He's not going to get taller necessarily.
6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, something like that. So in skates, he's 6'8", right? I mean, that's
Well, we had him in studio the day, like, days after he was drafted. he looks like he's 15 years old right now, but he's got the big frame. So, you got, like you said, you got to figure when he does get a little older, he's going to be a big guy on the ice.
Yeah, it's the strength that he's going to have and holding off guys. So, nice thing is he's playing some wing. He can play center, obviously. So, you know, he's just a an all-around special talent so far.
You got a player comp. Who would you compare him to around the NHL or even with the Hawks? Style of play, size,
etc. You hear a Kopitar a little bit. Getzlaff, you hear that too. But I don't know. You know, hopefully he's his own vision of his own person. Yeah. In 5 years, sure. We're like, you know, we're going to compare everybody to him, and you're like, oh, wow, this guy's the best of the best.
He moves so well at his size. You know, you wonder if he puts on another 20 or 30 pounds of muscle. I mean, is that – well, have you seen guys, does that slow them down?
Hockey players don't need to put on – guys are so trying to get wiry now and be able to move out there. He's definitely going to put on weight. But it's not like the 20, 30 pounds. I could see another 10, maybe, mm-hmm. 15. But it's, you look at the game now and the workouts guys are doing, it's all about being flexible, being able to move out there.
But he's taking hits, too. I mean, he's not afraid to be physical.
Yeah, I think he's going to, he's going to have better awareness on the ice eventually, too, and learn that. Cause look at it, he went from juniors to this. It's a world of difference. So, it's been pretty special so far. He surprised me for sure.
Brian, hold on one second. We're talking to Brian Campbell. Soupy, he's going to be celebrating one more shift tonight. He's been out on the ice doing that thing. It's just like in Slapshot. He's going to take off all his clothes. Today's broadcast, United Center before the Blackhawks take on Tampa. Sponsored by Geico. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Brian Campbell is with us at the Goose Island Pub. I always have to look at the wall to see where I am, which is a good thing to do.
Bro's always in a bar, so sometimes he opens his eyes like, where am I?
Soupy, I don't know if you know this, but when you're in a bar, sometimes they all start to look the same.
That is true.
Yeah, that can happen. Let's talk about the 2010 team, because you're going to skate one more shift tonight. Talk a little bit about what that was, because, it was one of the longer droughts in professional sports, right, between championships of existing champions, because it had been, the 1960s to 2010. What did that mean for you to be a member of that team?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of hard to put it into words. I think it was the how close we were as a group. I think nobody in that locker room had won a championship before, so it was kind of you going through this for the first time with everybody, and obviously the excitement of starting to roll through the playoffs was going through your opponents slowly, and obviously the first when we played Nashville, that might have been the hardest series for us out of all of them.
The Duncan Keith moment.
There's many
special
moments. That was that was San Jose series. For me, I played in San Jose, so beating them four straight was like, going in there, okay, we're playing the team that I was on a couple years ago in the conference finals for a little bit, and it was like I wanted that series so bad. I would have done anything to win that series, and I think that's what we had on our hockey club. It didn't matter. Anybody would do anything or sacrifice their body to win games and for the betterment of the team. So, it was just a really special moment for Chicago and obviously for the Blackhawks and the players.
Is it crazy to think it's been 10 years?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem that long ago. It is a little weird when you say that.
I think for
everybody, because I honestly feel like it's a place where everybody in Chicago is like, I know where I was that night, kind of thing.
No,
so,
man.
And then you're like 10 years ago. It's like, wow, okay. Yeah. So it's definitely.
I know. Time flies.
Yes.
Time definitely flies.
Well, that team, too. Like, for my generation, we always talk about this, how John McDonough and Rocky brought, hockey basically back to Chicago. My generation is a 30. Like, we had a window there where half the games weren't on TV. Yeah. So, in some ways, that team, because, that season was so fun. There were people who maybe liked hockey a little bit, but it was maybe not all that exposed to the Blackhawks. And it just, you guys, the city fell in love with you guys, and it just kind of brought hockey back.
There was characters on that team, too.
That's
what I think fans really love, too, is, we weren't the most mature, and I was the older. We weren't the most mature ones out there. So I think, the characters and the different personalities, I think – obviously everybody loves Keenan Taves, but I think there's so many players on that team where my favorite player was this person or this person. So I think with that obviously brought, the fans even closer together. So, and to do that for the Wirtz family, I think Rocky is, that's all you can ask for. Every time I went to work, I'm like, I want to make my owner proud, and I think, you know, for the organization, it was special.
You got any good stories from that season that you could tell on the air?
Wow.
Considering the characters on that roster?
No, I know. There's so many different
I don't want to get you in trouble here, but, you know, I'm sure you guys have plenty of great memories.
Yeah, I think we're just all, you know, they kind of blend in a little bit, but they're all, you know, just how, you know, even our celebration when we get into piles after a goal is just everybody's, you know, saying different things and just being trying to be funny but having a good time. Or it was like, you know, we always had a thing in the locker room. It was like, okay, we need big celebrations tonight after goals. Like, that was a big thing in our locker room. It was like, who's going to have the biggest celly tonight when they score a goal? So it was like, you know, that's what we kind of bonded and lifted everybody up and had fun with it, and hopefully not too much pressure put on the guys.
So you're leaving Philadelphia. And I mean, the stories are legendary of fans, and even Rocky tells a great story about worrying he was going to get killed leaving the stadium in Philadelphia because those fans, I don't know if you know this, they're a little emotional in Philadelphia about their teams. Yeah. So, and especially the way that it happened where no one saw the goal right when it occurred. And it couldn't have been a better, you know, more fitting thing with Patrick Kane scoring that goal. But you got the Stanley Cup, and you're on the airplane, and you're heading back to O'Hare. What's the weirdest thing that you saw happen to that Stanley Cup on that plane?
I don't think there's anything. It's just, it was definitely, had a seatbelt on. I think that's a for sure thing. But, you know, on the plane, it was just, you know.
Can you believe it, that you were flying with the Stanley Cup?
No, you don't believe it. You look back, you're like, is that what I think it is back there? And I think, you know.
God, like, what a moment, right?
Definitely have to get down on your knees to drink out of the cup when you're on a plane, so that's for sure.
Turbulence.
Yes.
I would love to get the exact number amount of adult pops that were consumed on that flight home from Philly.
As I seem to recall, that was a 49-and-a-half-hour bender that these guys were on until the...
I was not feeling too good the day of the parade. That's my only regret. It's like... I was definitely dehydrated for that one.
There were helicopter shots. I will never forget this. Following these guys, like they were on, you know, like a tour bus kind of a thing, right? And with the cup, and they would pull up, and everybody had their own dive bar that they wanted to go to, and it would be like, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're pulling up at this one bar, and then there's a helicopter over it, and then you're moving on to the next thing. And the rumors were, everybody's like, oh, they're coming here next, they're coming here next, they're coming here next. And it, with all of the things, whether it was the World Series, even the Cubs World Series, they didn't have this kind of a response to that, because it's like you said, it's such a working class sport in the way that people connect in a really emotional way, because they understand that if you understand the sport, you love it, right?
Well, that's the biggest thing about the Stanley Cup, is you bring it out, and it's like, okay, yeah, if you want to, you know,
touch it,
it's like it's there, and it's, you know, I think to be a part of it, and I think, you know, we wanted to give so much back to Chicago and celebrate that way and just never let that go again. Yeah. So, you know, it's, I think they obviously winning two more cups after that, they got better and better at the celebration and moving around Chicago a little bit.
And fans got better at finding out where the cup is.
Yeah,
there was Twitter accounts like Stanley Cup Watch.
I don't think Twitter was Twitter around. I don't think in 2010.
It might have been, but not as big.
But it was very basic.
It
was. It was like, so that was even the better thing. It was like, there's not as many cameras out there and everything, so it's just...
I know, right, exactly right. So today, it's a little different. All right, Brian Campbell, get out there, because you got to get your gear on. One more shift, you're going to be out on the ice, and let's bring home a goal now tonight, would you?
Yeah, I know. Hopefully we can get a big win here for the Hawks tonight and keep rolling here, so it's good to see.
All right.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
There's Brian Campbell.